36. John chapter 8, 31 through 36. If you need a Bible for the day, there might be one in front of you in the row in front. If not, we got some in the back that you can use. And if you need a Bible, we give it to you. Please see one of the guys in the back. They'll give you the Bible, and it's a gift for you to keep. All right, John chapter 8, 31 through 36, and it reads, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We're offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" As citizens and Americans, we value freedom. We enjoy it. We abuse it, but we like it. We enjoy the fact that our country, our nation was founded on one of the principles of liberty and justice for all. It may not be exercised, it may not be applied perfectly across the nation or in all times, but this is one of the founding principles. And the reality is you and I can thank the Lord for the freedom we have to meet together this morning. And because of the great emphasis and the defense of religious liberty, you and I don't have to fear someone breaking into this building and commandeering the pulpit, commandeering the building, and telling us what to say, when to say it, and how to behave. The reality is that you and I enjoy that freedom. The 4th of July is a day that, you know, we set aside and we remember patriotism. We remember the realities and the beauty of what drew us to America. My family fled from communist Cuba many years ago because they couldn't find in Cuba what they found here. So as long, you know, as much as we like to point a finger in this, the reality is I am in no hurry to return to Cuba to live there. Unless the Lord translates me there, I mean, calls me with a vision that I cannot deny, all right? That's why you sometimes have to say, you never say, "I'll never," when you serve the Lord. Because all you did was put a battery on your shoulder and you looked at it and you said, "I dare you." And God has many ways to send us where we think we don't belong. So, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know of any family up there in Cuba. I will not go as a tourist, but that's a conviction that I have out of conscience because of what my family suffered due to the communism and the regime of Castro and company. So I will never travel on a cruise ship. I'll never show up in the Hilton. I'll never be there in El Malecón. Okay. Why? Because my fellow Cubans, okay, that are there, they can't enjoy the freedom that I enjoy. So I therefore will never go there. Now, as a missionary, absolutely. Serving Christ, representing Him, I will do it. And we look forward to a few years back, a handful of us here traveled with the Christ Community Church. And we went there and we served the local church and the communities. Oh, yeah, looking forward to that. But I left when I was 6 months old. And I have not been back yet. So I do not know the land that saw me, you know, come into existence. So it's changed a lot. But the reality is I don't regret being here. And so 4th of July is what you and I, we enjoy the freedom. When you don't have it, you desperately want it. And then when you have it, if you're not careful, we take it for granted. Right? I mean, that's how it works. That's how it works. So it's good to consider at least once a year how different it would feel if the Revolutionary War wasn't fought and won. It'll be a different world for you and me. I'm not saying better, I'm not saying worse, but it definitely would be different. But the reality is you and I celebrate the blessings. And as we gather this morning, we're grateful to the Lord for all these blessings. We don't gather to adore, to worship America. Any Christian in any nation shouldn't gather to worship that nation on the Lord's Day. We gather on the Lord's Day to thank the Lord for this nation that we have, for all that you and I get to enjoy. But we gather in His name and for His glory to make much of Him. Amen? So we want to do that because the celebration, the freedom that you and I have in Christ transcends national pride. The freedom that you and I have in Jesus Christ, the reality is it transcends political rhetoric. You and I gather this morning, grateful to the Lord for this nation, but mostly we're grateful to the Lord for who he is and for those of us in Christ because of the freedom you and I enjoy in Jesus Christ. Because here's breaking news. There are many Americans this morning who are free politically, but not spiritually. The sad truth is, it's possible to be a part of this great nation and yet not be free. In fact, I would contend the freedom that you and I should be celebrating each day of the year. It's not Independence Day, but Independence Day from sin unto dependence to Christ. So you and I have a great, great message to celebrate the reality. And again, on weekends like this, we celebrate what we have, but we don't lose sight that these freedoms, hey, folks, it can disappear overnight. I don't think it will. Don't get me wrong. Not without a fight. Okay? And you can thank our founding fathers. In fact, this holiday is brought to you, as the meme says on social media, by people who had guns, right? So the reality is that they can try to take it away. They may even succeed. But the reality is our freedom in Christ, no one can take it away. And that's the beauty. No matter how this nation changes, how the world continues to suffer decline, you and I in Christ enjoy a freedom that no one can take away. But even as we say that, many people will react like the Jews did there in the Bible. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth. The truth doesn't set you free. Knowing the truth sets you free. Okay? So if you're going to quote the scriptures, quote them right. It's not how the truth sets you free. No, knowing the truth is what sets you free. And then all of a sudden they answered him, we're the offspring of Abraham. We're Jews. We're sons of the covenant where God made a promise to Abraham. And here's what they're saying. We've never been enslaved to anyone. All the Jews knew was enslavement. That's all they knew. Starting from the divided kingdom, beyond that, all they knew was they were slaves to Assyria, and then they were slaves to Babylon, then they went to slaves to the Greeks, and then they were under the enslavement of the Romans, even as they spoke. But again, they represent you and me outside the grace of Christ, that we think we're free, yet we're slaves to sin. Because when sin says jump, you and I, we jump. When sin rears its ugly head and says, behave this way, in a God-dishonoring way, in a way that is only selfish and self-interested in any relationship, whether I'm single, married, as a parent, or a child. And when sin rears its ugly head through pride, we justify that and we go, this is what we want to do. And even our best of intentions are marred by selfishness. Seldom do you and I act in just pure humanitarian and philanthropic ways. Even behind the scenes, we want to be able to pat our backs. But Jesus, as he said to his countrymen, and he says to us today, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And they're easy to say, but what does it mean? So for the next few minutes, at least to like 1:30, man, okay. You guys are still a little sleepy. We're sending a little mist of something. You can't even feel it, but it's going to be numbing you. Before you know it, you're going to be going like, and that's it. And then when I hear the I'm going to say, bank routing numbers, stuff like that. Okay. Checking accounts. But yeah, so it'll be before 1:30, 1:29. But, let's see for the next few minutes. What does this mean? What does it mean if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed? Number one, we need to understand what we're set free from. What we are set free from. Listen, before we can celebrate being free, we need to know what we were freed from. If you and I were to get into a time capsule and travel back to the era of the Revolutionary War, and you and I met the colonists there, and we would ask them, hey, why are you fighting this war? Do you think they would have an answer? Yes or yes? Yeah, making it easy on the multiple choice, okay? Yes or yes? Of course, they knew exactly what they needed freedom from. They knew they wanted they wanted to be free from state religion, from taxation without representation, from being controlled by a distant land. These are just some of the things, and as Christians, it's valuable for you and me to know what we have been freed from. If you're going to celebrate your freedom in Christ, what were you set free from? Well, number one, you were set free from sin. You okay? You were set free from sin. Now, you and I may go, yep, that's true. And yet some of us will go, I'm not sure, because let me tell you, I did a little sinning on the way here. You know what I mean? I mean, me and the missus had the toughest time. We had the most intense time of fellowship. You know what that's code word for? Talk to me. What's an intense time of fellowship? A fight. Yes, yes. But we just like to put it in. Okay. We just had a nice intense time of fellowship. Oh, my wife is here. I got to behave. All right. An intense time of fellowship. All right. Yeah, you know, if we're free from, you know, if we're set free from sin, how? I mean, I'm still pretty bad, man. I mean, you cross me in the middle of the road and I'll let you know you're number one. You know, I'll wave and not use all my fingers at you. Okay, so how can we be set from free from sin? Because that's not my experience. Well, here's how it works. Salvation in different tenses. Okay, let me give you the past tense of salvation. Number one, we're set free from sin's penalty. The big word, if you're playing Scrabble, you want to take this one with you, is justification. That's that big word. If you hang around church circles long enough and you read some books and you hear some preachers, sooner or later, you're going to hear this big word, justification. What does it mean? Well, it means you've been set free from sin's penalty. We tend to forget that. We have broken the law. I was, again, reminded time and time again, right? You know, I take a ride up down Taft Street on Louis Acosta Boulevard. I've told you about my little, right, Taft Street and Palm Avenue. I get there, make a right. I own that strip between Palm Avenue and Douglas Road. It's Louis Acosta Boulevard. Because I don't learn my lesson. Two times, I've had a friendly member of our local PD give me a written reminder of the posted speed limit. And just to make sure I remember, they attach a monetary value to that. And then the DMV has the gall to put some points against my license. I mean, you know, last time I was speeding, the local PD said, I can see you're in a hurry. Let me make it quick. And then you got to call, 1-800-VAMPIRES to get you out. 1-800 lawyers. Okay. 1-800-TICKET-CLINIC to get you out. So they can claim temporary insanity or whatever they got to claim. But what's the problem? You broke the law. There's a penalty attached. We know this. We understand this in the temporal world. We understand this on planet Earth. When you break the law, you're under its penalty. Someone has to make good what you have made bad. And the Bible says that when you and I place our trust in Christ, we are receiving what He has done for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Simple terms, Jesus took our place. Jesus is our substitute. He was punished for our crimes. He suffered our punishment. You know, when you and I became citizens, when I became a citizen of the United States back in 1996, I wasn't born here. My dad came over from Cuba. My dad was that old time Cubano, Cuban, Latino. Hey, I'm going to die Cuban. Toward the end, he said, forget that jive. I'm becoming American. But that he did on his own. To age 18, he could have slid me in under his thing, but he didn't. So I traveled internationally one time. It was to see my aunt and uncle back 20 plus years when my cousin got married. And the rest of my family, they have the blue passports. What do I have? Two of them. One from Cuba and then a visa to please, 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 please let me back in. And I got there and I'm like, are you kidding? My family's like, choom, choom, choom. And I'm over here like, see. Quiero salir, pero por favor déjeme entrar. And I'm going like rattling off and like, oh, I came back and went, done. American citizen, here I came. Back then, $100, that's what it cost me. If you've been naturalized citizen, you know that $100 doesn't even get you a stamp. All right? I remember going, huh? No, not even the vital, okay? I remember going down to somewhere in Miami. I'm talking English like this. I was interviewed, and they said, write a sentence. I love the United States of America. I mean, come on. I've been here long enough. All right? I swore in, and listen, here's the reality. The day I swore in, I became beneficiary of the many blessings and that this nation has to offer, and didn't cost me anything. I benefit from the work of others. I did not fight the Revolutionary War. I have not been in the military. I have not kept the peace that's been procured. but yet I enjoy it in like way, in likewise manner. When you and I trust in Christ, you and I become beneficiaries of the work of another. Amen. This is salvation past tense. Freedom from sin's penalty. He bore the penalty of our sins. Someone had to pay for the broken dishes. Someone has you and I have transgressed. You and I have broken the law of God in many ways and in different ways, and quite honestly, very willingly. We've delighted in doing it the wrong way. But then when it's time to pay the piper, when the tax paper comes in and it's time to pay, all of a sudden we're like, oh, well, someone has to pay. And when God, what he requires is not good, because good is not good enough. What he requires is perfect. Perfection. So I can look at all of you and I can look in the mirror and know that we fall short. You might be better than me. I'm just a snake in the grass. But the reality is you're not perfect. And if you're not perfect, you don't get into God's perfect heaven. So the only way you can do is trust in the one who was perfect, who was born not of natural means, who was born supernaturally in the womb of Mary. He was born, and because he's not like his predecessor, the first Adam, he's the second Adam, because he's Jesus the Christ, he then doesn't have the sin nature, so he grows up and he lives perfectly. He obeys the law of God perfectly. He follows God's will perfectly. He ends on a cross, pays for that, and then is buried, and then is resurrected. And it's on that work and on that person that you and I trust and we're depending for a right standing before God. And we're justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's past tense. It's past tense. The judge of the universe looks at us and declares not guilty. Not guilty. And you didn't have to call 1-800-TICKET-CLINIC. You trust in the Lord. And that's why Romans chapter 8 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who live or walk, not according to the flesh, to their own ways of doing things, but according to the Spirit. There's now no condemnation. That's past tense. The reality is our justification is behind us. It's a past occurrence. We are saved from the penalty of sin. If you're here this morning, you have not trusted in Christ, you will have to pay the penalty. Because God is not only love, but God is just. And you may have a loving demeanor toward the thief that breaks into your house. And you may want for that thief not to have to pay the penalty. But if he got caught, he's going to have to pay the penalty. Unless you're willing to pay the penalty for him. And I don't know about you, I'm not that good. I'm not that spiritual. Okay? So we understand what it means. So you and me, if we're here this morning, we haven't trusted in Christ. Sooner or later, one day we will answer to the Creator God, who will say then, why should I let you into my heaven? It is my heaven. It's not yours. I created it. It's a perfect place for perfect people. Why should I let you in? And that's the question you need to answer. And if the question you answer begins with the first person, because you started off wrong. It's because Jesus. Because Jesus. So justification. Justification. But then how do I wrestle with the fact? How do I reconcile the reality as though I don't pay for sin. You know, I've been delivered from the penalty of sin. But boy, again, I'm still here and I'm wrestling. Well, that's because now we talk about salvation present tense. We are set free from sin's power. Power. And this is the one that's not easy to understand or even believe, because listen, do you understand that the power of sin has been broken? That's what Jesus means when he says, if the Son will set you free, you'll be free indeed. For the very first time in your life, you're free to say no to sin. You're no longer a slave. You may behave like a slave. You still have a hard time thinking new because that's all you know. So therefore again, travel back with me to that revolutionary time. And before the Revolutionary War, the colonists were subject to the control and regulations imposed by England. The war's fought, the war's won, freedom is attained. But do you understand that the effects of Great Britain still remained? In fact, if you would have met some of the colonists right after the win of the Revolutionary War, they would have still sounded like British. It's not like they won their freedom and all of a sudden they were thinking, you thought they were from the Bayou country, Louisiana. They still sounded British. They even still thought kind of British. They even though they enjoyed the freedom and the break from England, they were still thinking, child of God, this is what happens to you and me, is a slow growth in holiness. Because the penalty has been dealt with, I'm free from the penalty. I'm also free from the power, but now it takes time to understand and takes time to show some family traits. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the work of the Word of God in your life. That's the work of you doing your part, that grace-driven part, to start bearing a family resemblance. And that's where you and I are at. We are free. We are free from the power of sin. Before that, we chose. If sin is the donut and righteousness is the salad, you know what we choose time and time again. I was doing well this morning until Danielle put a dozen donuts in front of me. And Danielle was very kind. She's Danielle. I mean, okay. The love of Alberto's life. All right. She said, hey, Pastor, if you want, you can have one. All I did was blueberry, done. That's just done. I mean, I didn't even think about it twice. I didn't try to justify it. Man, that's going to take an extra 30 minutes of cardio, and I have to do a little bit more, some more deadlifts. And I'll deal with that. Forget it, buddy. I'm in. Dunk that into coffee, and I'm in. Down the hatch, okay? 350 calories, according to my fitness pal. It's not even worth it, but boy, did they touch it. It tastes good. Let me tell you, my fitness pal said 350, high in sugar, high in saturated fat. And I said, and all of God's people said, yeah, baby, yeah, yeah. Man, all right? I just shoved that thing down my face. I think some of it is still here, all right? I didn't care. Yeah, but that's you and me outside of the grace of Christ. Sin presents itself. We justify. We justify. Oh, listen, I want to be this way towards that person. I want to be less loving to that person. I want to be racist to that person. I want to be this to that person. I want to be hard-headed to that. I want to be proud. I want to undermine. And I want to talk bad about this one. And I want to talk bad about that one. The reason I'm giving him a hug is so I can know where to slide that knife. That's how you and me do it. And if you're not doing it, not only are you sinning, you're deluded. You're delusional because you know you are. You know you are. And that's the same thing with us. When sin presents itself, we're like, done. When the sun sets you free, all of a sudden you pick up that and you go, not anytime soon, Danielle, so please continue to bring the blueberry. But applying it to my scenario, I see the donut, I go, no, I will not be a slave to that donut. I'll be a willing slave to that donut. But right now the donut doesn't say jump, and I go, jump right into my mouth, right? Same thing happens to you and me. And the longer we walk with the Lord and the more we read His Word and we understand it, and when we understand it, we make adjustments in our lives toward obedience and towards righteousness. All of a sudden, we start bearing family resemblance. All of a sudden, our thoughts change. And that's the deepest of all change, our thoughts. And then our behavior changes. And then our affections change. And that's when you see the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's where in Philippians chapter 2 says, you're working out your salvation. You're working it outwardly. What's inward, it's making its way in every area of life. Every area of life, whether it's personal, professional, relational. And listen, it's bearing the fruit that I know Christ. And there's nothing in my life that's contradicting the reality that I'm free. You and I choose to sin. You and I choose to suffer. That's the reality. Sanctification is ongoing. It's that slow moving growth in holiness. We are being saved from sin's power. We have been saved from sin's penalty. We are being saved from sin's power. And there's a cooperation between the Spirit of God and you and me and the Christian where it says, I will cooperate with what God is trying to do in me. And you and I can resist the Lord. But you know what? The Lord tends to win. Yeah. Yeah, because he has everything and he has an arsenal full of tools. Where he can just say, let me do this, or let me do that. Let me go here, let me go there. You can fight. You can try to resist the Lord all you want. But he who received you with his arms open, he said, I love you just like you are, loves you too much to leave you just as you are. Right? So he welcomes the repentant sinner, but then he said, you're my kid now. And as my kid, this is how you're going to begin to behave. And you can go against that, but I'm going to win. But I love you so much that I'm not going to let you stay there long without you feeling my displeasure. And sooner or later, you might feel my direct hand. What's lost nowadays in the Christian community, there was a generation that feared the Lord because when the heavy hand of God fell on someone's life, boy, it was no fun. No different, mom, dad, when the heavy hand of discipline falls on your children's life. Does it mean that you love them any less? Quite contrary. You love them enough not to leave them just as they are. So we know this from relationships. We know this from in the natural world. When my mom and dad, my dad, all he had to do was just grab his belt buckle and my knee started buckling. You know what I mean? He was old time. That old man, I don't care how old he was, that guy was just agile. He was just, wah! Just whoop, and it just fell naturally like boom. Luisito, ven aquí. Oh my gosh. Okay. But he loved me enough to say, No. I have to prepare you for responsible adulthood. And because I have to prepare you for responsible adulthood, you can't behave like a little kid at 35 years of age. Okay? There was a time when this man-child was looked down upon. Today we celebrate. Yeah, go ahead, stay in my basement for the next 43 years of your life and be a gamer. Are you kidding me? Kidding me? No. Time to grow up and shut up and get going. And you got to embrace the world. My wife and I, we told our kids, don't grow up. It's a trap. My kids look at us now. What do they say? It's a trap. You were right. I'm like, yeah, you think I'm right? This white hair means something. I know. Don't grow up. It's a trap. Then you got to start paying for stuff, and you got to start paying for me. I mean, that's good too. Yeah, all three of them make more money than I do. Come on. Take that. You know, Papa Bear needs some stuff. All right? But the reality is, you know, we have to grow up, and this is all part of that. And you and I must remind ourselves frequently that we are free. We don't have to behave like what we were. We have to immerse ourselves in the Word of God that gives us the marching order. This is the mirror that I need to not just be just look at it, but I need to be a doer of the Word. I should be quick to confess my sin when it gains victory in my life, and I need to strive to live as people. As a person freed by God's grace. And because of this, because we've been set free from sin's power, listen, look at the application. Number one, we're set free from fear. We're set free from fear. One of the most common commands in Scripture is this one, fear not. The Bible tells us in Hebrews and in Psalm 23, you and I don't need to fear death. In Psalm 3, we do not need to fear enemies. Psalm 112, Proverbs 3, we do not need to fear adverse circumstances. Isaiah 51, we don't need to fear criticism. We don't need to fear God's judgment. 1 John chapter 4. And listen, it's easier to say don't be afraid than it is not to be. All we need to do is go into a doctor's appointment, and when he says, hey, there's nothing to be afraid of, that's when we start being afraid. You know, it's going to hurt you more than me. Yeah, you think? I'm the one going under the knife. You went to 12 years of schooling for that piece of advice? But the reality is, it's easier to say, I don't afraid. It's harder to really not be afraid. And the Bible's counsel is simple. You and I face the unknown. You and I face the uncertainty of life honestly. And we can face it unafraid because we don't face it alone. We face unknown situations holding the hand of the Lord God Almighty. Because we are set free from sin's power, we're set free from fear. Not only that, but we're also set free from our past. And sometimes you and I can get stuck there. In fact, we choose not to forgive ourselves, and we're stuck. And the Bible says, no, you can be set free from your past because the power has been broken. Isaiah chapter 1, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. White, white. In other words, no matter how deeply stained and dirty, God can make us clean and fresh again. Therefore, you leave the past just there in the past. You don't allow it to affect your present, and therefore it doesn't guide your future. So you and I celebrate a freedom that's freedom from sin's penalty, from sin's power, past tense, present tense, future tense. Salvation is we're promised to be set from sin's presence. That's glorification. Those are big words. I understand that. That's why I want you to go leave with, okay, it's past, it's future. The reality is that this sinfulness that I'm going to be fighting against one day will be done with too. That's how complete our deliverance is. That's how complete the rescue is. He doesn't leave you trapped in the past tense. He doesn't even keep you in the present tense. He has promised that one day you and I will be delivered from the presence of sin. Our fight to grow in holiness will be for this entire earthly life. But sooner or later, you and I will come into a place where the glorification is coming, and you and I will have that perfect presence of the Lord, and we'll trade that. We'll trade the presence of sin for the perfect presence of the Lord. So, in summary, let me just tell you three things here. This is what we are set from. I'm just going to give you a couple of things, what we're set for. But before we get there, take this home with you. Be assured of your justification. It's happened. In Christ, it's happened. Be patient with your sanctification. And I say this to you and me. We have to be patient with one another. Okay? Just like, again, we understand this. We don't expect the two-year-old to drive. I mean, to drive us crazy is another thing. But to drive a car. We don't expect that. We make adjustments. We're patient with the two-year-old. Let's be patient with one another. And be eager for your glorification. So, you travel back in time. The colonists would have said, I know what I need deliverance from. But they also knew what they were set free for. So let me just give you two ideas here. It's not just we're talking about what we were set free. Listen, that's good. But what's better is what we're set free for. Let me give you two ideas. Number one, we're set free to live in fellowship with God and enjoy Him today and forever. See, we don't talk about this because we think that life with the Lord now is just this big Debbie Downer. I can't do this. We start thinking of what we can't do. Do you understand? That's exactly what Eve did. Right? She just said, yeah, God said this. And the devil does that all the time. He's going to help. He's going to try to get you to the point where you minimize the goodness of God and you amplify the prohibitions of God. God didn't say, don't eat of any tree. He just said of one tree. Oh, yeah. But that's the one. Wow. So that one prohibition is what messed it all up for Adam and Eve. For you, child of God, listen, you and I get to enjoy. The problem is we see a future, and really, quite honestly, we were affected by this world's thinking. We think that our future awaits is sitting on a cloud and playing harps. You know, if that's heaven, that is boring. Dring. Hold on, let me do it again. Dring. Oh, let me do it another key. Dring. Do you understand? I have a bucket list of places I want to get to. Everybody here have a bucket list? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Let me see. Okay. How many of you guys have a bucket list that includes Hialeah? Come on. Be nice. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. I had to do my ding on Hialeah week. All right. Okay. I have. Listen, I love to go to the Middle East. I love to travel the Holy Land. I love to do a trip of Paul's missionary journeys. Okay. Love to go to Russia just to enjoy the architecture. My bucket list. You know what I've really realized lately? I'm not going to get to it. Okay, I'm not going to get to it. But here's the comfort I have. God has promised in the book of Revelation that He's making a new heavens and new earth for His people. Now, you don't make a new heavens and new earth not to populate it. Just think through it. The new heavens and new earth is going to be populated for an eternity. That means that my bucket list now won't compare to my bucket list then. So I don't freak out if I don't make it to, you know, I see all these things on social media. Put a check mark on all the states you've been. You know what? How many check marks I put? Like 2. Like, what do I care? I mean, I feel that I can't go everywhere. But do you understand that for an eternity, for an 120 years here is 1/100th of an inch of a rope that's eternity in length. Do you understand that the rest of my eternity, I'll get to enjoy what God has prepared for His own? So not only do I enjoy Him here, I enjoy Him forever. And that's the beauty of it. It's living with the security that comes that no matter what happens in my life, He's never going to leave me or forsake me. It's with the reality that as I age, I'm not getting closer to the end. I'm getting closer to home. Okay, that's the reality. That's the beauty. And secondly, we are free to draw on His strength and experience His protection. The Bible talks many a times to being under God's wings. Do you understand that picture? It's the picture of protection. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 40 picks up on this idea and he pens these immortal words. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And there's times when living this life can become almost unbearable. There's tragedies that happen in our days and in our lifetimes that can become unbearable. But even there, we're reminded that the Lord is with us, that we face this not on our own, but on with His strength. Stephen Curtis Chapman put it well many, many years ago when he wrote, "His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect." Child of God, this is for you and me to enjoy. To enjoy, to draw strength from the relationship. All that God is for you and me in Christ Jesus. We're not living in this world by ourselves. We walk hand in hand with the God of the universe. The great English preacher, Charles Spurgeon, wrote of many of the benefits of the freedom that God provides in Christ. It'll be on the screen there, several slides. Says, you shall be free to call yourself God's child. You shall be free to say, Abba, Father, without rebuke. You shall be free to claim the protection of the Father's house and the provision of His bounty. You shall be free to come to His knees with all your trials and tell Him all your griefs. You shall be free to plead His promises and to receive the fulfillment of them too. You shall be free to sit at His table, not as a servant is permitted sometimes to sit down when the feast is over to eat leftovers, but you shall sit there as a well-beloved son to eat the fatted calf while your Father with you eats, drinks, and is merry. You're free to share in all those benefits which Christ has given to His beloved. And when you die, you shall be free to enter into the rest which remains for the people of God. Free to enter the new Jerusalem which is above. Free to her streets of joy. Free to her great banquet which lasts forever. Free to the heart of God, to the throne of Christ, and to the blessedness of eternity. He was right on. He was right on. Here this morning, tomorrow, we celebrate Independence Day. Would you celebrate today Dependence Day on Christ? Would you go before Him and because the Son has set you free, you are free indeed? Two questions. We land the plane, we go home. The first question is this. Have you entered into the freedom that is offered by God through Christ? Have you? Have you? Honestly. Have you reached that point in your life when you've realized that no matter how good you are, you're never going to be good enough. Doesn't matter. You get tired. Because remember, God is not looking for good. If He was looking for good people, I'm in like Flynn. Because I mean, listen, I'm the best person I know. I'm a legend in my own mind. If he doesn't let me in, He better not let you any of you all in. But good is not good enough. He wants perfect. He's looking at Johnny, and he's looking at Umberto, and he's looking at Eddie, and he's looking at Gary, and he's looking at Mona Lisa, and he's saying, I want perfection. Well, I can't. Well, that's exactly the point. You can't. Only through Christ can you. So, my friend, have you trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you come to the point in your life when you realize that you can't impress God with your many credentials after your name, with your financial portfolio, with your good looks, with your six-pack abs, with whatever IQ you have. You don't impress him. What are you going to offer the one who owns it all? He says, give me your heart. Humble and contrite. Repentant. Today's the day to do that. The second question is, brothers and sisters, when was the last time you celebrated what God has done for you? Tomorrow, when you're at the grill and you're celebrating, you know, national freedom, step back and celebrate the freedom in Christ. Tomorrow, when you're cooking out, in addition to being grateful for the food on the grill, give thanks for the bread of life. Tomorrow, when you're there and you're placing your hand over your heart because you hear those songs that are patriotic, and I feel them even now, and you hear the national anthem, you swell with pride because it means something. You see the flag and she means something. And as you swell with that pride and you say, yes, I am proud to be an American. Listen, would you remind yourself of your greater allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Let us celebrate independence. But let's celebrate even more our dependence in God because of our freedom in Christ. Amen. Amen? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads for just a moment. Let's take all this to the Lord in prayer. In just a few moments, we will sing and we'll press on and we'll be out of here in a matter of minutes. But would you go and is the Lord your rock and your redeemer? I'm going to ask the praise team to come and get ready to lead us in a worship song. Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer. But for the rest of us, could you sing today that the Lord is your rock and your redeemer? If not, today's the day. And if he is, today's the day to refocus, to offer thanksgiving, and to live for his glory. Lord God, do your work as only you can. Thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Help us now to respond, to worship you through the response. Receive this song for your glory, for our joy. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen.